All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Nunvav 56. We are going to pick up on the bottom of Nunhei Amud Beis. We're picking up at Massiv Rav Sheshes 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So we saw ultimately the discussion of Rabbi Meir, or we saw the Mishnah, and then we saw Rabbi Meir came up with the idea, or the Gemara suggested Rabbi Meir's shita is that Chachamim asu chizuk l'divreim k'divrei Torah. That the Chazal, often when they legislate a law, they did so in a way that strengthened their positions as if they were the oraisa obligations. So remember again, this all came up because of the need to go ahead and add on an additional fifth when one consumes Trumas Meiser of Demai, which is in and of itself a Dirabanan, yet the idea that I have to add on a fifth indicates to us that Lameiser were being Machmir on a Dirabanan. So Massive Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes brings up the following Kasha. Mechalin Oso Kesef Al Kesef. So we'll say this is talking about over here. This is, Rashi brings down Gabi Meister Sheni Shol Demai. This is another case of Meister Sheni of Demai. So the Gemara says over here, you could redeem silver on silver, Nechoshes on Nechoshes, copper on copper, Kesef on Nechoshes, silver coins, this is all coinage, silver coins onto copper coins, Unechoshes al Aperos. And I will say Nechoshes ultimately again onto produce. So I will say this is actually an interesting case. This is all taking place outside of Yerushalayim. So what you're doing is you're transferring the Meiser Sheni sanctity multiple times. Now actually, we discussed this earlier about this machlokis, about how many times you can actually transfer Meiser Sheni sanctity. The Gemara over here is reflecting the idea that Lameis, you could even do it multiple times. But again, this is not regular Meiser Sheni. This is Meiser Sheni of, This is Meiser Sheni of Demai. Right? So again, this is treated a little bit more leniently than a regular case of Meiser Sheni. So the Gemara says, Rameir says, you could ultimately go ahead and be pulled it again after you transfer the sanctity to multiple sets of coins. You could then go ahead and transfer it back into Peros, and this is even outside of Yerushalayim. Chum de Chum say, Ya'alu Peros, V'yochlu B'Yerushalayim. Chum say, no. Yeah, once you go ahead and you transfer the sanctity back onto fruit, then Lamaisa again, Lamaisa, you take the fruit up to Yerushalayim and consume it there. Now ask the Gemara, one second, can you transfer sanctity from silver onto copper? But we learned, listen to this interesting case. Let's say I have a sella of Meiser Sheni and of Chulin that got mixed up. Let's say sella is a silver coin. So I have a silver coin of Chulin and Meiser Sheni that got mixed with each other, and I don't know which one is which. So what do I do? Maybe sella maos v'omer komakum sheshna sella shal Meiser Sheni mechulelas ha-maos halalu. So what I do is I bring a ma'az worth of, so ma'az of copper coins. So I bring a whole bunch of copper coins corresponding to the value of a silver coin, and I say that the Meiser Sheni should be redeemed ultimately on these copper coins. Uborer es hayafa sheba, and then I take the nicest of the two coins, meaning of the two coins that are mixed together, umechalalo aleha, and I transfer the sanctity from the copper coins back onto the silver coin. Top of Nunvav, lipnei shamru, because the rabbi said, mechalalin oso kesef al nechoshes midochak, that one is permitted to transfer sanctity, Meiser Sheni sanctity, from silver onto copper, midochak. Meaning midochak means in extenuating circumstances. This is not the lachatchila. This is not ultimately, again, what it is that we aspire to do, but in difficult circumstances, you could do it. Lo sheikayim kain. So remember, again, we don't want you to maintain the Meiser Sheni money in the form of the copper coins. Rather, what I do is I go ahead and I take those copper coins and then I transfer their sanctity back onto a silver coin. And we'll say, Rashi brings down the whole reason why I'm going through this convoluted process in terms of why not just transfer it right onto silver. Rashi, we're not going to get into that today. It's not for our discussion. The Gemara says, what is our discussion? Katani mihas, mechalalin midochak. But we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that the Braisa says that you're permitted to transfer the sanctity of silver onto copper only midochak, only in extenuating circumstances. Midochak in, shalo midochak lo. We'll say you could do it in extenuating circumstances, but if it's not an extenuating circumstance, we don't want you to do it. We'll say, take a look at Rashi. Rashi katoni mihas, right across. Gabi Meiser Vadai Midochak in Shalomi Dochak Lo. But say when it comes to Meiser Sheni Vadai, we do not want you ideally transferring sanctity from silver onto copper, unless of course it's an extenuating circumstance. V'chevan da'amar kesef al nechoshes midochak in Shalomi Dochak Lo. And we'll say, since it said that if you're going to go ahead and redeem silver onto copper, extenuating circumstances, you can do it. But if it's not, then you may not. The Gabi Dimai, Tana Mechalim. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? There are two different cases. Rabbi brought down two cases. One was a case of transferring sanctity of Maiser Sheni of Dimai. One was a case of transferring sanctity of Maiser Sheni Vadai. Definitive Maiser Sheni. And yet, what did you see? In the case of Maiser Sheni of Dimai, the Braisa Paskin, that one is permitted to transfer sanctity from silver to copper. And yet, in the case of Maiser Sheni Vadai, one said you could transfer from silver to copper, but only midochak, only from extenuating circumstances. So what do you see from here? You see from here that we don't treat Drabonons the same way we treat Doraisos. Right? Because what's happening over here? We're more makel, we're more lenient by the Drabonon than we are by the Doraisa. Because by Demai, which is Drabonon, we allow the transfer of Maiser Sheni's sanctity from silver to copper. Yet, by Maiser Sheni Vadai, we only allow that in a case of dochak, in a case of extreme need. So which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Afa Pishameka Rabbi Meir B'Vidyono, Machmir Hubachilaso. You're right. Even though Rabbi Meir is Mekel, perhaps with the laws of redemption, and we'll say that in a case of Maiser Sheni of Dumai, which is Dirabanon, the laws of redemption will be more lenient, but he is Machmir ultimately again with the laws of Achila. And he will say that Maiser Sheni of Dumai ultimately again will have the same halachos as Maiser Sheni of regular of Maiser Sheni Vadai. And that's why he paskins in the Mishnah that if one goes ahead and eats the Trumas Meiser of Dumai, one will have to go ahead and what? One will have to go ahead and pay an additional fifth. Okay, this Sanya, because we learned, Lo Hetiro Limkar Dumai, Ela L'Sidon Bilvad, was an interesting halacha. So Chazal only permitted you to go ahead and sell Dumai to a Siton. So we will see a Siton is a wholesaler. Look at Rashi. He says, Lo Hetiro Limkar Dumai, Lo Hetiro L'Chaver HaLokeach Dumai, Shimkrena L'Achem Ashiyase. So we'll say, under normal circumstances, if I have Dumai in my possession, I am not permitted to sell it to another individual without first tithing it, right? Remember again, Demai is produce from an Ama Aretz. The whole big Shaila is what has this produce been tithed or not? That's the fundamental Shaila. And the Aloha is, I can't sell it to someone else until after I tithe it myself. There's an exception to this, apparently, that when it comes to selling it to a wholesaler, I could sell my demai to a wholesaler without first tithing it. Rashi says over El Siton Bilvad, Siton Chaver Lo Hitzichula Aser, El Mochro Kishahu Demai, Valo Chomimenu Yafish Masrosov, Shakal Yodin Shasiton Mikama Ame Arthlokex. So listen to this. So a wholesaler does not have to tithe his demai before he sells it to others. Why not? Because everyone knows that a wholesaler is getting his produce from multiple different sources, including presumably who? Ame Haaretz. Therefore, whenever you buy from a seal, whenever you buy from a wholesaler, you always know that you have to tithe your produce. Therefore, if he has demai, he doesn't have to worry about selling it to us. So we'll say again, it's actually an interesting idea. So if I'm an individual and I'm selling, well, actually, we'll see. Balabayis, in this case over here, it doesn't mean like a regular case of Balabas, but rather, again, if Siton is a wholesaler, Balabayis is a retailer. However, the retailer, but Rabbi Meir holds that the Balabayis, ultimately, again, the retailer, he has to go ahead and tithe the produce before he goes ahead and sells it to anyone else. Rashi says over here, Benkach, Bain Sheba Lachs Ravalim Karamida Gasal Khanvan and Kisiton, Bain Sheba Lachs Ravalim Karamida Daka Khanvan and Bachanos Pruto, Sarkla Asar Kodam Shimkor, the Fishal Kechmen, Suffer Shame Peros Arzo. Sirbosai, with the retailer, people don't know or people could assume that the produce he's selling is whose? Is his own produce. And therefore, again, if he's known as a Chaver, if he's known as a Talmud Chacham, he's known as someone who's Makbir Trumas Maisers, people will assume that he tithed his produce. So we'll say, this is Shitas Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, that if a seton, if a wholesaler has demai in his possession, he does not have to tithe it before selling it. Because since the nature of a wholesaler is that he's getting it from a bunch of different sources, people assume anything they buy from him is not tithed, and they will tithe it themselves. However, Balabais, a retailer, people often assume that the produce he's selling is his own produce, which they're assuming he has tithed. Therefore, again, he cannot let demai pass through his hand.
Is that halacha that when you buy from a wholesaler, you're automatically supposed to assume
it? Oh, so we're saying, it's machlokes. The chum say, Echor asiton ve'echor balabais, mochar v'sholeach l'chabero, v'nosnum matana v'nachoshesh. The chum, on the other hand, say, that no, whether a person is a wholesaler, or whether a person is a retailer, so the halacha is mocher v'sholeach v'nosin l'chavero. You could sell it, you could send it to your friend, you could give it to him as a gift. Ve'eno choshesh. We'll say ve'eno choshesh means in this context that in all cases when you buy produce from people who sell it, you always have to assume that it is untithed. Shitas Chachamim, doesn't matter, wholesaler, retailer, you always have to assume that Shumas and Maestros have not been taken. Look at Rashi. V'echam nechom om sito echad sito v'echa balabayis, shebalim kor b'mida gasa, kiderech hamashpien, u kiderech hasitonos, mocher v'sholeach l'chavero, shechazaka kol amochrim v'nostin b'mida gasa, v'cheska shlo isru d'mai, heim. So we'll say, Chum say that, look, anybody who deals in commerce, right? They're not taking the steps to tithe produce. So whether you're buying from a reseller, essentially we'll say, according to the Chachamim, the fundamental issue is, if somebody's selling for profit, right? If somebody's in this for profit, then Lamaisa, again, you cannot assume they tithe. And therefore, when you buy that, the obligation of tithing is upon you. That's the Machlokas. Master Rabino, Shabin raises a kasha, halokeach min anachtu ma'as, min acham al tzonen. I suppose another interesting case, somebody goes in and buys from a baker. So what happens? I buy a bunch of loaves of bread from a baker. So what happens? Halokeach min anachtu ma'as, min acham al tzonen. So we'll say, I can go ahead and what? Remove the meiser, whether it's meiser or challah, from the hot loaves or the warm loaves on the cold loaves, or from the cold loaves on the warm loaves, even if the loaves came from multiple different molds. In other words, so you understand, means like the way they often made loaves is you put it into a, you know, you could do this like when you make challah. Right? There are two different ways you can make challah. You can mamish braid the dough, or you can buy like these molds that essentially you put the dough in, and it puts like the, you know, it just makes it look like the top is braided, but it's not really braided.
Pull apart challahs?
No, I'm saying, this is like a loaf. It's a loaf. It just has like an image on top, like a press. Yeah. Okay, good. Whatever. The point is, all right, I didn't mean to open up all the right? The point is over here that the loaves are different. That's the point over here. So I have multiple different types of loaves, some hot, some cold, and they look different. They look different as well. So the halacha is, I could go ahead and tithe one from the other. In other words, I don't have to go ahead and separate out the tithes from the loaves that look the same. I could even designate certain loaves that look one way on loaves that look a different way. Different Meir. So we'll say these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Bishlama minatzon enes alachama kid Rabbi Eloi. So we'll say, I understand why I can go ahead and separate out cold loaves on warm loaves. I was using cold loaves, warm loaves. So the distinction is fresh bread versus not fresh bread. So I understand why I'm allowed to do that. Even though I both say what? The quality of the two items is dramatically dissimilar, yet I'm still allowed to go ahead. So what this means over here is, if I have the batch of warm bread, I want to go ahead and separate out one of yesterday's loaves on as a tithe for that. I could do that. So why do I know that? I could Rabbi Eloi, Dom Rabbi Eloi, Minay L'Tor Min Hara Ala Yafesh Shetrumas Shetruma. But say, how do I know that if you go ahead and what? If you separate out bad produce on good produce, that it is a valid designation of truma. Shneemar v'lo tisu alav chait b'harim chem es chalbo mimenu. Because the Bosai, the pasuk says, you shall not bear a sin when you separate the chalev from it. Now we'll say, this is talking about separating out inferior tithes. Im eino kadosh Nesias Chet Lama. So we'll say it's interesting. So essentially what the Torah says is the following. Do not go ahead and bear a sin when you separate out the chalif from it. So the idea over here is, what the Torah is telling me is, don't do it, but if you do it, it works. In other words, ideally, it is best not to separate out inferior produce as truma, but if you separated out inferior produce as truma, such a separation and such a designation, in fact, is halachically binding. Ella afilu midefusim harbei lechosh dilma asidat frushim inachiv ala pater or minapater alachiv. But here's the bigger problem. The bigger problem you have is if you're telling, so I understand then why I could separate out old loaves as truma or as meiser for new loaves. That I understand, or for fresh loaves. Because I have a concept that I could separate out inferior produce as truma and meiser for superior produce. I got it. However, what about the case of the different types of molds? The breads look different. And I could separate out trumas and meisers from one batch on another batch that looks dramatically different. Lechosh dilma asi la'afrushe min achiyuv ala pater or min apater ala chiyuv. We'll say, do I not have a concern in that type of case? That's what? That I may come to separate out things that are required in trumas and meisers from things that have already been tied. In other words, when you're dealing with two dissimilar batches, are we not concerned that you may come to separate out something that has already been tithed as something that has not yet been tithed? So Amar Abaye, so the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Lozer, Shapir Kakashile. So Rabbi says Abaye, Rabbi Lozer asked the good question. Rabbi said, now we're jumping back for just a moment. Abaye said that Rabbi Lozer, when he went ahead and he asked earlier, then Rabbi Lozer went ahead and asked the question, which was the beginning of the Gemara yesterday's daf, that did the rabbis really strengthen their halachos, like Dorai? So that was a good question. And Shmuel lo shapir kamashanile. But Shmuel's answer was not a good one. So Rabbi again, remember, let's go back for just a moment. What was Rabbi Lazar's kasha? Rabbi Lazar's kasha was that the Mishnah said that if you ate Shumas Meiser of Demai, you have to pay not only back the principal, but what? The additional fifth. Rabbi Lazar says, I don't understand that. Consumption of Shumas Meiser of Demai is a rabbinic prohibition. The fifth penalty is on Doraisas. Is it true that the Chachamim are going ahead and treating their Isurim like Doraisas? So Rabbi Lozer asked that question, and Shmuel answered it. How did Shmuel answer it? Shmuel said, oh, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Because what does Rabbi Meir say? And then I both remember again the Gemara quoted the case of Befanei Nechtav or Befanei Nechtam. Right? And Rabbi Meir is the one who said that if you deliver to get to a woman, she delivered to get to a woman, and didn't say Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtam, and then what, she gets remarried and she has kids, what's that, Locha? Right? She has to leave the second marriage and the children are mamzerim. So you see from here that Rabbi Meir holds that Rabbanans are vested with the same level of intensity as Daraisas. So the Gemara says over here, Rabbi Lazar asked a good kasha. Shmuel did not answer appropriately. Why? Tikashile Rabbi Lazar misa dibide shamayim. Because we'll say, Rabbi Lazar ultimately again was bringing a kasha based on misa v'dei shemayim. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. The kasha of Rabbi Lazar, v'chi asu kizuk b'tshumas meiser shal demai shikala, ashafilu tshuma vados einu ela b'misa b'dei shemayim zar okla. But listen to this. So, Rabbi Lazar's question is predicated on the following idea: If a non-kohen eats truma vadai, non-kohen eats regular truma, the halacha is that is misa bidei shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. The Rabbi said, now in Rabbi Lazar's worldview, that is a more makel, that is a more lenient form of a death penalty, which makes sense because again, anything that's bidei shamayim, a person has the ability to work out with the ribono shel olam through tshuva. So Rabbi Lazar's kasha was the following. Rabbi Lazar's kasha was, even if you were to eat truma vadai, you would only, quote unquote, bichai misa bidei shamayim, which tells you that even truma vadai is more kal. How could it then be that in a drabanon of truma, in a drabanon, meaning demai, where you consume the truma's meister of demai, you're going to have to pay the principal plus a fifth? It doesn't make sense. Or mishayna li Shmuel, and Shmuel went ahead and answered him with the case of misas beizdin. Shmuel answered him with the case of Mabosa, and what's the case of misas beizdin? The case of misas beizdin Mabosa is the get case. Why? Because if it turns out that a woman commits adultery, that infraction is subject to Mises Beis Din. Obviously, that case is not subject to Misa's Beis Din, because, bless you, because she thought she was divorced, right? She's, of course, not actually liable to Misa Chas Shalom in that case. What it's saying is that type of behavior, i.e. adultery, is subject to Misa's Beis Din. To which the Gemara says, Dilma Shani Misa's Beis Din, Dechamira. Maybe the case of get is fundamentally different, because since the prohibition of adultery is subject to death at the hands of a human court, that's why it's treated more machmir. For Rav Sheshes, lo shapir kamosivle. And Rav Sheshes, furthermore, also did not give a proper answer. Because we also remember again, what did Rav Sheshes say? Rashi says, for Rav Sheshes, the osei l'shmua michilu shalo asu bo chizok michilu shal demai. Rav Sheshes who brought up the case, ultimately, again, Abba Sevan, who contrasted the redemption of Meister Sheni of Demai with Meister Sheni Vadai. Meister Sheni Vadai, you can't transfer sanctity from silver to gold. Meister Sheni from Demai, or at least you can only do it Bitchak. Meister Sheni of Demai, you can do it. So furthermore, again, the Gemara says, and Rav Sheshes didn't give a good answer either. Why? Tika Amri Inhu, Misa Umosiv Rav Sheshes Lav. Because on both sides, the other cases that the other Rabban are bringing up are cases where there's a potential punishment of Misa. And Rav Sheshes brings up a case of Lav, Dichsiv, because it says by Meister Sheni, Lo Suchal Lecho B'Sharecha. The Pasuk simply says, you never meditated in your gates. Ulamai demosiv Rav Sheshes, and that which Rav Sheshes answered, Rav Yosef Shapir Kamishanile, Boseh. So therefore, in that version, Rav Yosef's answer is also appropriate. El Ravina, ad demosiv minachtum, Luseele Mipalter. But if that's the case, Rav Yosef, Ravina, when he brings a kasha from the case of Nachtum, from the case of the baker, the loaves that we just had before, let it bring a raya from the case of the palter. Rabbi, what's the case of the palter? Rashi says over here, palter, hu le'inyan kikaros kesiton, le'inyan tivua lokeach. So we'll say, so essentially a palter we're going to see is kind of like a wholesaler of bread. He says, this nan, halokeach mina palter, if somebody purchases bread from a palter, so we'll say, so again, Palter essentially is also a wholesaler. So what's the halacha? Na'asra min kol defus u defus yeremir. Meir says, you have to tithe each type on its own. Ela ma'is lechol ha'meimar. Palter mitre tlasa gavri zabin. So we'll say, the idea over here is because we know, going back to our seton case, a palter purchases from a bunch of different people. So because of that, again, you must assume that what? That he has not tithed anything. Therefore, again, Nachtum Naim Echad Gavru Zabin. So I'll say, so too we would say that the Nachtum only purchases from one individual. To which the Gemara says, Rava Amr Shmuel, Shapir Kamishanile, Shem Misa Ba'olam. So also ultimately, again, Rava says that Shmuel, going back, Shmuel actually answered the question well, because Shmuel was saying Shem Misa Ba'olam means that we could compare the different cases. We can compare a case of ultimately Misa Bidei Adam, which was the case of the get, to the case of Misa Bidei Shemaim, which would be the case of Truma. Why? Because ultimately, again, it's all called Misa. Therefore, I will say, just coming kind of full circle in all of this, the way the Gemara seems to end off is that Lamaisa, again, the case of the Trumas Maisa of Demai, that would be Chayev Chomesh, even though it's a Derabonon, would in fact reflect the view of Rabbi Meir, who holds Asu Chachamim Chizuk LeDivrem Kishal Torah, that in certain circumstances, not all circumstances, Chazal went ahead and bolstered their positions with almost the intensity and severity of biblical law. And that's why, again, even in a case when a person consumes Trumas Maisa of Demai, which is only Derabonon, one will be obligated to go ahead and pay the additional fifth. Good, says the Mishnah. But so now we go weiter, come to another interesting case. Elu Devarim. She'en lahem ona. I will say the following is a list of things that are not subject to the laws of ona. What are they? Not subject to the laws of overcharging. What are they? Ha'avadim, slaves. Shtaros, documents. Karkos, land. Hekdeshos. Hekdesh. What's right? All of these cases, Rashi says over here, what's the case of Hekdeshos? Rashi says, Gizbar, first of all, Shtaros, Rashi says, is Hamocha Shtaros Ligvos Chov Shabasocha V'yitlenu La'atzmo. So I'm selling a note. There's no Ona'a by the selling of a note. We'll discuss why that is. Hekdeshos, Rashi says over here, Gizbar Hamocha Hekdesh O Hamocha Olos Hashnafa Balmum. If I am the Gizba, the temple treasurer, and I am selling something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash no longer needs it, There is no ona'a in that transaction. It goes on, Elahem tash, furthermore, Elahem tashlumi kefal. These items also are not subject to the laws of kefal, which are both sides, the double payment if you're found out to be a thief. Nor are they subject to the laws of Arba v'chamisha. Supposed to say Arba v'chamisha is the case of Tavach u'machar. Obviously, some of these situations are not shaykh to it because they're not shaykh to it. But Arba v'chamisha means, remember, if you steal a cow or a sheep, the halacha is if you slaughter it and sell it, you are chayiv 4 or 5 times penalty payment. Shomer chinam eimam mishba. Shomer chinam does not have to swear. Look at the last Rashi. Eino nishba, last line. Shalo pashlo is kiku toras alishav alein. A shomer chinam is not obligated to swear that he was not negligent with a particular item in his care. Vino seizkar ino mashalim. And a shomer sachar does not have to pay if it was stolen from him. Again, as we'll say, we'll discuss the parameters of these statements. Rabbi Shimon Rishimon says, on the base, kodshim, shuchai bachar yusin, yeshlen or no. Let's say any sacrificial item that you are responsible for is subject to the laws of Ona. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Amar Kadshim Shechai Bach. What's an example of Kadshim for which you are Chayiv, which you are responsible for? Amar Hare Alai Ola VeFrisha VeHomama UMachra. Let's listen to this. If a person says, "I hereby take upon myself responsibility to bring an Ola," if something happens to that animal, what's the halacha? Right, I am obligated to replace it. I'm obligated to replace it. Suppose I say any case where I am obligated to replace it, ultimately, again, it is subject to the laws of Onah. But any case where I would not be chayv in achrayis, suppose I suppose an example in a case where I would not be chayv achrayis for a carbon, I go over to an animal, I say, Harei zu ola. This animal is an ola. Suppose I something happens to that animal, what's the halacha? I'm done. Hear the distinction? If I take the responsibility upon myself, then I am obligated until I bring that animal to the Beis HaMikdash. If I say this animal, so that's the animal that's chayiv. If something happens to it, ultimately again, I'm potter. However, so the Gemara goes right there. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af hamokar sefer Torah behema umargilis ein lahen onar. Rabbi Yehuda says, even someone who sells a sefer Torah, someone who sells an animal, or someone who sells a precious jewel is also not subject to the laws of onar. Amrulo, they said to him, Lo amru ella es elu. So they responded back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, the list is closed, right? The list is only the list we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, and you cannot add on these additional items. Says the Gemara, min hani mili. So now we're going to go through the list. So the Mishnah included a list of things that are not subject to the laws of Onah. So ask the Gemara, how do I know that these things that you mentioned are not subject to Onah? Oh, I'm going to show you. Titan Rabbanon, v'chi simkeru mimkar la misecho. O kano miyad amisecha. So also remember the pasuk by Onoa says, if you will sell an item to your friend, or you will acquire something from the hand of your friend. So the Gemara Dash says, why does it say O kano? It could have just said O kano amisecha. The same way it says the chisimkuru mimkar amisecha. Let it say O kano miyamisecha. Why does it say miyad from the hand? The Gemara Dashins, Davra hanikna miyad liyad, to teach us that the only things that are subject from Onah are what? Something that could be conveyed from hand to hand. Which also is another way of saying what? Metaltolin. Movable property. Only movable property is Shayach to Onah. Yotzu karkos, she'ina metaltolin. Therefore, Abosai comes to exclude karka, that real estate is not subject to the laws of Onah. Yotzu avadin, Abosai, which by the way, also you understand. So, just on, we're learning it from Daraisa, but real estate is probably the one thing that can't be shaykh to Onah, because real estate has so many other secondary, valuation metrics, right? There are different reasons why real estate is important to different people. But in any event, Midaraisa, Metalplin is exempt from Onah. Yotsu Avadim, so ultimately, again, it excludes Avadim from Onah. Why? Shok Shulakarkos. Because ultimately, again, avodim, slaves, are compared to karka. Yotu shtaros. So we'll say it excludes shtaros. Why? V'chsev v'chisimkaru mimkar. Because we'll say, what is subject to Onah? Only something v'chisimkaru, that is a mimkar, that is a sale. Shegufa machar. Only something whose essence, whose guf, the body itself, the object itself can be sold. V'gufa kanoi. And the object itself can be acquired. Yotu shtaros she'in gufan machar. So we've discussed this before. A note has no inherent value. You see, if I lent Reuven $1,000 and I sell you that note, that note, that piece of paper that I'm giving you, represents an opportunity or an entitlement to collect. But the note itself is a it's a piece of paper. It's not considered to be an object of mammon. So because it's not considered to have an inherent value, and because it's not something that can be inherently acquired, therefore again, and it's really only there, I will say, as a proof that I am the person who could collect the note. Therefore again, mikan amru, therefore alocha lemaisa, it's not subject to laws of ona. But listen to this. Mikan amru, hamocha shtarosav levasam, yesh ona. I will say, we learn from here that what? If you sell your notes, to a basam is like a spice salesman, there is no nar. What does that mean? If I sell my notes to the spice salesman, so that when I want a spice salesman, I want to buy my notes. He wants to buy my notes because they both say, when he sells his spices, he needs something to go ahead and roll the spices up in order to convey it. So if I sell my note to a spice salesman, that's another way of saying what? I'm selling him my notes for use as paper. Oh, once he's using it as paper, now suddenly what? It has value. Once it has value, technically speaking, again, it can be subject to the laws of Omna. So the Gemara says, Pshita, is that not obvious? To which the Gemara says, well, so obviously, if you're selling the paper, if you're selling the notes as paper, then what? Then now you're selling an actual object. And if you're selling an actual object, then of course it's subject to the laws of Omna. What's the Chiddush? La'afuki mid Rav Kahana. It will say it comes to exclude the position of Rav Kahana. The Amr Ein Ona Alefudus. We also saw this in yesterday's daf as well. Rav Kahana says that they both say there is no Ona for Prudos. Rather, the shear of Ona must be measured in at least an Isser. At least an Isser, not a Pruto. Kamashmal and Yeshon Alefudus. Therefore, again, also this Gemara teaches me that no, there is Ona even for a small amount like a Pruto. Hekdesho. So we'll say, what about Hekdesh? Why isn't Hekdesh subject to the laws of Ona? Amar Krak, because the Pasuk says, Ochiv. The Pasuk ultimately says what we'll say. The Pasuk says, Okano altono ish es Ochiv. Do not charge Ona to your brother. Ochiv, below Hekdesh. We'll say, Dafka to my brother and not to Hekdesh. Maskif la rabar mamol. Let's go back for just a moment. So the way this whole discussion began is that we said that both karka is not shayich to ona. Why? Because the pasuk says okano miyad amisecha, only something that could be acquired from the hand of your fellow subject to ona. So literally, what we're saying is literally hand metaltolin, but not karka. So which the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Amal says, that to say that every single time the Torah says yado. Yado means yado mamish. In other words, that yado means literally something that you could acquire from your friend's hand. So the Gemara says, Elo me'ato dechsev vayikach es kol artso miyado. B'yat Rabo said, the Pasuk says, right, ki cheshbon irso chisichon melech ha'morihi v'hu nilcham melech mavarishon v'yikach es kol. So what's the Pasuk says, that Sichon took the land of Melech Moab. And it says, Vayikach es kol artso miyado. Does that literally mean, Hachinami b'chol are biyadi havinakitla? Does that literally mean that Sichon took the land of the king of Moab in his hand? Of course not. Ella mirishuso. Rather, I will say, perhaps yado can mean what? Perhaps yado can mean rishuso. Hachinami mirishuso. So to Rabbi say, by ono, maybe it also means rishuso. And maybe what it means is any transaction where an item is transferred from one rishus to another is subject to the laws of ono. In which case, if that's your understanding of the pasuk, then what Rabbi say? Then even land should be subject to the laws of ono. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, the kol hecha dechsev, yado. Lav yado mamashim. Is that true? In other words, the Gemara is backtracking. The Gemara says, I don't know. I still think that whenever the pasuk says yado, yado could literally mean his hand. After all, Vatanya, we learned, imimatse timatse biyado. The pasuk says, Rabbi said, by theft. If the stolen item will be found in the hand of the ganav, eimi ele yado, I only know that the ganav is chai for kefel. If you find it in his hand, gago chatzer v'kapifo minayin. How do I know that if I even go ahead and find it in his rishos, right, on his rooftop, in his chotzer, in his karfeif, that he's also chayiv tam lomar im hi matzei ti matzei mikol mokom. Because it also has a double lashon of hi matzei ti matzei tells me that wherever you find it. What do you see from here? Time of the kasev rachmanim hi matzei ti matzei. Halav hachi hava amina kol hecha de kasev yado, yado ma'amishu. So what do you see from here? It's only because of the double lashon of hi matzei ti matzei that we come to include other places, that we come to include the fact that what? Wherever you find, wherever you find this item, wherever you find this item, ultimately, again, the ganav will be chayav. But what do you see from here? That just the word yado by itself means what? The word yado by itself literally means hand. Visu tanya. Furthermore, we learn v'nasan biyada. Well, sorry, it says by get, you shall put the get in her hand. Imi eli yada. I only know that you have to deliver the get into her hand. Gaga chatzera the kafifa minayin. I don't know that I could even deliver it into other areas of Rishus. Tamulomar v'nasan mikol makom. I'll say because the pasuk says v'nasan. Time with the kasirach one of v'nasan. The only reason I will say why I know that I could place it in other areas other than her hand is because the pasuk says v'nasan halavach. Yeah, the pasuk not said that hava mina kolecha the kas of yado yado mamish. I'll say, but had it not said that, I would have assumed that what any time the Torah says yado yado means what mamish hand. Ella kol yado yado mamish. I think Mar says you're right. We're going back to what we originally thought. When the Torah says yad, yad means yad, and if Rabbo says by ona, when the Torah says okano miyad amitecha, the Torah is coming to teach you that it's only something that could be handed over from one person's hand to the other person's hand that is subject to ona, i.e., only metaltan are subject to ona. And what? And I will say, the pasuk from Bamidbar, that Sichon took the hand, Sichon took the lands of the king of Moab in his hand, says, and I will say, obviously, because it's not saying, the pasuk in Bamidbar is an expression, that when Sichon took the land of the king of Moab in his hand, of course it's not literal, there is to be understood, there Yado means Rishuso, but under other circumstances, Yado normally means Yado, and therefore again, the limud that teaches us, that ona does not apply to karka, still remains in place. Boy, Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera has an interesting kasha. Schiros yishlana elana. It's a fascinating question over here. Up until now, we've always been dealing with ona in the context of a sale. Now the Shai Gemara wants to ask, what about rentals? Are rentals subject to the laws of ona or not? So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. On one hand, the Torah says explicitly, v'chisimkaru. The Torah is talking about a memkar, talking about a sale. So on one hand, the Torah says that it is a sale that is subject to the laws of ona, but not a rental. Avaloskirus. Odilma, loshna. Or perhaps you do not make a distinction between what? Between a sale and between a rental. To which the Gemara says, abaye, miksiv mimkar olam. Mimkar stomach siv. So I'll say, when Torah doesn't speak about an eternal sale, but rather again, it just says sale. The high nami biome mechirin. I'll say here, the Gemara makes a fascinating statement. The Gemara says, you know what the status of a rental is? Well, during the duration of the rental, that's the equivalent of a sale. So the Gemara, we're going to discuss this in greater depth, but this is a fascinating idea. So the Gemara is suggesting is, what essentially the definition of a rental is a sale with an expiration date, right? Sale with an expiration date. Therefore, again, perhaps as long as during the duration of the rental, it's called a memkar, and therefore, again, it is subject to the laws of ona. So let's say, here's the fundamental shayla. Is a rental subject to the laws of ona? And essentially, again, it depends how we're understanding a rental. Is a rental a beria bifnei atzma, essentially its own legal entity, or is a rental considered to be a sale with a beginning date and an end date? So the Gemara says the following. Let's analyze this. So Rabin asked the following kasha. So we'll say another build ka. We're building on the previous question. Chitin v'zarin bekarka mahu. We'll say what happens if you take wheat seeds and you sow them, you plant them in the ground. You plant them in the ground. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Yesh lahen ona, o ein lahen ona. So we'll say, so are the seeds, the sale of the seeds, subject to ona or not subject to ona? So the Gemara says, kiman d'shadjan b'kadyo damyon. Do you say it's as if, now we'll define what this case is in just a moment. It's as if you put the seeds in a jug, v'yesh lahen ona. And therefore, we'll say the seeds are considered to be metaltalin, and therefore are subject to ona. O dilma batlinu agav karkas. So we're talking about over here, what kind of seeds? Seeds that have not yet taken root. So what's the status of seeds that have not taken root? Are seeds that have not taken root like seeds that have been placed in a jug, i.e. metaltalin, therefore subject to ona? Or do we say no? Once you put it in the ground, what? It's bottled to the ground. And once it's bottled to the ground, again, it's no longer subject to the laws of ona. So says the Gemara, what's the case? Hey, dummy. So I'll say, what's the case? If it's a case where the seller is saying, look, I went ahead and I put six saw of seeds into the ground. And he sells it to Reuven. And then witnesses come along and say, no, the seller didn't put six saw, rather he only put five saw of seeds into the ground. So we'll say, is that the case you're talking about? That can't be why. It was very important. V'amar Rava, Rava said, Kol davar sheba mi davar sheba mishkav sheba minyan, afilu pachos mikadei ona chozer. Let's listen to this. Whenever you are selling a quantifiable amount, and it turns out that the amount that the seller said he was selling you is not the amount that he actually sold you, and we'll say, that is not ona. What is that called? What is that called? Right, fraud, right? It's called a mekachtos, right? I will say, again, that's something totally different. That's not ona. That's over here. You told me you were selling me six saw. You only sold me five saw. That's not ona. That's fraud. That's mekachtos. I will say, very important distinction. Ona is when there's a change, when there's a deviation in the price. But the agreed upon merchandise has been delivered. If the agreed upon merchandise has not been delivered, then that's a mekachtos. Ela, the Amar Ihu Shadai Baki de Boila. Now the boss said, what's the case? The case over here is where the person who's selling the produce, or the person who's selling the future produce, says, listen, I sowed this field with the requisite amount of seed. The Igoli Milsa de Lo Shada Baki de Boy. And then it turns out that he didn't. Yesh Lan Ona? Oh, Ein Lohen Ona. Ultimately, again, is that transaction subject to Ona or not? So, Kiman de Shadi Bekado Damion, Vesh Lan Ona. So we'll say, is it like, meaning, how do we view the seeds before they've taken root? Do we view them as if they're sitting in a receptacle, and therefore, again, they're metallic and subject to ona? Or, odilma bat linu agav karko, agav ara. Or do we say that since they've been put in the ground, then what? They are bottled to the ground. Nishbo'in alehen, o'in nishbo'in alehen. So we'll say another interesting kasha. Would, look at Rashi, nishbo'in alehen, imhoda b'miktsas. Kigon tanu piskas ame ame lizroa vav shema sarati lucha vizarata chameshu omer zarati chameshu mechza. So we'll say again. Let's say you were to have a moda b'miktsas case over here, right? Would this type of case be subject to moda b'miktsas? So we'll say again. What does it depend? It's all the same question. The fundamental question is: what's the status of seeds before they've taken root? Are they considered to be like metaltolin? Or they consider it to be like karka. And again, these are all the nafkaminas. If you have a mode de mixas case, so we'll say mode de mixas does not apply to karka, only applies to metaltolin. So again, kiman dishadjan bikada damon vinishpon alehin. Is it as if they're in a jug, and therefore again, the metaltolin, they regenerate an obligation for shvua? O dilma batlinu agav ara veinishbo'in alehin. Or both say, are they considered to be bottle to the ground, and ultimately again, you would not take a shvua on them. Next question, Omer Matiran, no, ain't Omer Matiran. So we'll say ultimately again, and we'll stop over here with this, we'll pick up with this tomorrow, is the bringing of the Omer, does that matter them or not matter them? So we'll say, we'll stop, actually I'm going to stop over here, so I'm kind of leaving you mid-question. But the question I'm leaving you with, and I promise you we will answer it tomorrow, Mir Hashem, first thing tomorrow morning, is the status of seeds planted in the ground ultimately again before they take root, right? Are they considered to be like metaltolin or like karka? So far we're seeing a whole bunch of nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is it subject to ona? If it's like karka, no. If it's like metaltolin, yes. Number two, is it subject to mode b'miktsas? If it's like karka, no. If it's like metaltolin, next. And now the third question, which we'll further develop tomorrow, is what's the impact of the carbon ha'omer on these seeds? Does the carbon ha'omer matter these seeds if they're part of the karka, or does it have no impact on them if they're metaltolin? But we'll pick up with the omer case emir tashem tomorrow. Shkayach v'osayim.